to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
First and foremost, they say there's no specific or credible intelligence of a threat to coincide with the anniversary, but it does warn local, state, and federal authorities that these lone wolves are self-radicalized. Homegrown terrorists here in the U.S. may see the anniversary as a good time to retaliate for bin Laden's death. And that's a statement that's not being made in a vacuum. In the years since bin Laden was killed by the Navy SEALs, there have been calls for retaliation by these al-Qaeda affiliates or franchises in Yemen, Somalia, and also North Africa that have been pretty successful at recruiting American citizens.
There's Homeland Security correspondent Catherine Herridge commenting on an FBI warning about possible terror attacks on the upcoming anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden. The one-year anniversary of bin Laden's death is number 10 this week on our Talk Radio Countdown, the review of the hot hits for the week ending Friday, April 27th. Welcome on in. I'm Doug Steffen. We'll be reviewing, as usual, the top 10 items in Talk Radio determined by the staff at Talkers.com. Number 9 on the countdown, more problems at the TSA. Host Michelle Eccles talks to CBS's Steve Futterman about the arrest of TSA agents in Los Angeles accused of being involved in a drug smuggling operation.
Two TSA screeners and two former screeners are under arrest after the breakup of an alleged drug smuggling ring. Steve, tell us, what exactly happened out there?
Well, the good news is this was broken up before it even got underway in full. What happened was some drug couriers contacted some drug screeners, TSA drug screeners, and they got together and said they would do almost a pay-for-play deal where essentially the drug smugglers would be able to slip through suitcases full of drugs, past the security devices at LAX. In exchange, they would give the drug screeners, the TSA, not the drug screeners, but the screeners from TSA, money to compensate them. They would get several thousand dollars for as much as several thousand dollars each time they let these suitcases go through. But what happened was the first time they tried to do this, the drug courier went to the wrong terminal. And the TSA became aware of this, and then they set up sort of a sting operation unbeknownst to the four current and former TSA screeners. So it's a bit complicated, but essentially the TSA screeners had agreed to do this, but it never was able to work out because TSA found out and they employed a sting operation.
So essentially, even though they're supposed to be our security force there and keep us from being in danger, the same folks who work with them were able to stop it.
Well, yes. I mean, listen, this is one of those things where you have some bad apples in the bunch. It happens. It can happen in every situation. There have been situations before with screeners becoming involved in some legal situations, and this is just another one of them. TSA does have ongoing security measures where they try to see if things are going not the way they're supposed to, and they got a bit lucky here, obviously, but they did find out. They employed a sting operation, saw who was involved, and made the arrest.
Now, is this a situation where maybe some of those employees didn't get the proper security checks? Do we know anything about that background? Because I know the TSA is also talking about cutting out background checks for some employees as well.
Well, there will be an investigation. We'll find out more about this. We'll see if that, in fact, is true. We'll see who these people were. We'll see if there were any problems in their hiring, whether they should have been hired. There's certainly going to be an investigation here. This is become somewhat of a high-profile case. So my guess is that TSA will conduct an internal investigation. There might be an oversight committee that wants to look into this as well. So I think there's going to be a really serious look into this because of the implications, obviously. You know, if you have TSA screeners allowing drugs to get through, obviously that's not something that you want to happen. But the bigger concern is, could you have terrorists trying to work out a deal with TSA screeners to allow them to get through? That's the big concern in something like this.
Up next, the Martin Zimmerman case, the John Edwards trial, and a bill to save the post office. All this week, hot stuff on Talk Radio.
The entire world watched. They watched each step down the rungs of that small ladder. one after another, and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
At that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible, and today the sky is not the limit. But Schieffer, pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at Value.com.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Phil. I need a new putter.
Well, sure. They're on sale.
Yeah, I know. I read your email newsletter.
So how you hitting them?
Shot a 79 yesterday.
Oh, fabulous. You must be reading my newsletter tips.
79 over par.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to look at some drivers, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Email marketing from Constant Contact helps you create professional newsletters that really drive business. It's easy, and plans are as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial. ConstantContact.com.
Four!
Gardeners trust Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed to feed plants right. Plants need food, especially veggies. Lately, another company's been saying their plant food feeds twice as long as what they aren't saying? Their plant food actually feeds less. So we're saying it. Shake and Feed provides 72% more nutrition per application and is more in line with university recommendations for feeding many popular veggies. Hey, if we can save even one veggie, it'll be worth it. Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed. Everyone grows with Miracle-Gro.
The Department of Defense commemorates the 60th anniversary of the Korean War. We are proud to present the following stories of those who served when their nation called. Staff Sergeant Robert Dixon, 378th Combat Engineers, U.S. Army.
We were building roads, escape roads over the mountains, and maintaining what roads was there. I guess it was a challenge over the mountains to build the roads. We had to do a lot of digging, a lot of work. That was the biggest challenge, I guess, that and the cold weather. The only thing I really despised is the minefields. I didn't like them. I had one close call with them on that. Somebody didn't holler fire in a hole, and I was close by. It didn't. Luckily, they seen me before it happened, and maybe I wouldn't be here.
See more hero stories at KoreanWar.defense.gov.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
Talk Radio Countdown Show continuing here. Number 8 on the list this week, the Martin Zimmerman case. Here's host Paul W. Smith talking to ABC's Aaron Katursky about the Sanford police chief resigning over the case, only to have a local commission reject the resignation.
The Sanford police chief, Bill Lee, who stepped down just for a moment. That temporarily is what it was said. And now he's been trying to resign fully. And the commission there, city commission, said, no, we're not going to accept your resignation. It's a little complicated.
It's a really curious case in Sanford, Florida. It's a little bit of the controversy over Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman, but also a little bit of local politics and local flavor mixed in. And essentially, the Sanford City Commission will not allow the police chief to follow what the Sanford City Commission wanted initially, which was for him to get out. He had stepped aside temporarily, then offered to resign as part of a deal with the city, and now the city commission is saying, well, no. And a couple of the commissioners said that they were upset that this decision was coming before the outside investigation into the department's handling of the Trayvon Martin shooting was finished.
And that's a good point, because Chief Bill Lee very well may have been right in not quickly rushing to judgment like everyone else did, quickly running out and arresting this guy. He could be vindicated in every way. How much of this, though, has anything to do, if any of it does, Aaron Katursky, with the fact that the package that they were offering or that the chief had negotiated included some severance?
Oh, I mean, I think that there's a lot about, you know, how Chief Lee was even hired under the old city manager, not this current one, didn't like having people forced upon him, and the fact that he had never been a police chief before he was hired, the fact that there was severance involved. There was a lot of, you know, local politics, as I say, involved in this decision. But remember, Chief Lee's department wanted to arrest George Zimmerman the night of the shooting, and only didn't because prosecutors in town resisted and said there would not be enough evidence to lead to a conviction. And that's, you know, what began a controversy that's now being investigated. investigated and could be investigated over the next several months by an outside agency. The city commission said let that investigation conclude before we decide what should happen to Chief Lee. And this is the same city commission that voted, you know, no confidence in him. So it's a very curious turn of events.
Now we're up to number seven, the John Edwards trial. From MSNBC, Tom Roberts talked to legal analyst Stephen Friedland about the prosecution's main witness, Andrew Young, who may be doing their case more harm than good.
He wrote that tell-all book called The Politician. It gave these salacious details of what went on behind the scenes during the campaign and what went on in the Edwards home. But now he's under cross-examination. He does have immunity, but he admits that he fabricated things. So how much damage does this do to the prosecution's case, his credibility, really being in question?
Andrew Young is the foundation of the prosecution's house. And what the defense is going to try to do is to wash away that house just like the thunder and lightning and the rain around here. His credibility is critical.
Salaciousness aside, though, a lot has been discussed. And it begs the question, though, about what Elizabeth Edwards may have known about this affair. How big of a role Elizabeth Edwards' memory, legacy, is going to play in this trial when it comes to the impact of this jury.
It will definitely play a large role. It's a tawdry case. That's where the prosecution wants it. And what John Edwards knew and what he did about it counts. So Elizabeth Edwards is very much a part of this case.
They're saying, at least the defense is saying, that just because you may not like him and he's a two-timer, that kind of thing, doesn't mean that he is criminally responsible for what he has been pinned with. Can the prosecution ultimately prove that hiding this affair broke the law?
That's what they're trying to do. The prosecution is depending on the jury not liking him, but also saying he's not just unlikable, he's a criminal in what he did. And they're hoping that the jury agrees and lumps those two things together.
Number six this week on the countdown, the bill to save the post office. Here's host Joe Kelly talking to correspondent Jamie Dupree about a postal reform bill that will at least temporarily keep the post office from making more cuts and closing more branches.
Did they kind of kick the can down the road?
I think that's what the Postal Service officials believe that the Senate-passed bill on postal reform did, and it was one that was not supported by either of Oklahoma senators. A lot of Republicans voted against the final plan because they wanted to see more cuts. And I know a lot of people say, yeah, but don't cut our post office or mail delivery facility here in the state. You've got to cut somebody else's. That is sort of the problem the Postal Service argues with this bill, and that it doesn't allow them to even look at getting rid of Saturday mail service for 2 years. It doesn't allow them to get rid of rural post offices for at least a year. And there's several other restrictions as well. And so last night the Postmaster General said, look, we thank you for your efforts, Senate, but this is not going to do enough to get us back in the area where they're going to be making money.
You know, the interesting thing is, at least one of the interesting things, if one takes the time to actually read the Constitution, of all of the things that we spend money on that are not spelled out in the Constitution, postal delivery actually is. Yeah, that is part of the Constitution.
But actually, there's no government money that goes to it.
And therein lies the irony. The one thing that is spelled out, we actually don't spend federal money on, whereas all these other things that we do spend money on,
They're
not in there.
I would say this, if we were in a much better financial situation, there would probably be an easy vote by the Congress to bail out the Postal Service. But right now, you're not going to get that because we're in such difficult straits financially.
Up next, the Secret Service sex scandal and the EPA setting its sights on the oil industry. That's next here on the Talk Radio Review.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Welcome back to our Talk Radio Countdown. We're up to number five this week, Secret Service sex scandal. Here's Talk Host Tom Rotan talking to Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio about the national security concerns associated with the scandal.
These types of scandals are extremely frustrating, but also there's a concern about national security with this situation in Colombia.
Well, Tom, you know, what concerns me most, you know, I spent nearly 27 years, 26 and a half years in the United States Air Force. And I know that with great responsibility comes great accountability. And I'm just wondering what leadership is, where leadership is in Washington, D.C. I mean, you know, this is a total disregard for not only for the security of the president, and other dignitaries that the Secret Service may be required to protect, but it's also a total disregard for the American taxpayer. When you look at what's happening with GSA, when you look at what's happening with the Secret Service, it just makes you wonder what the culture of this administration is that would embolden people to abuse the American taxpayer this way.
I know that some members of the Secret Service have already been dismissed. There's there's going to be retribution internally for others. And I think that, like you say, it's a culture of corruption, maybe a lack of leadership. I mean, some of these members of Secret Service, obviously, they were here during the Bush days.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. And Tom, this, you know, you're probably a parent.
Yeah.
And I know as a parent, you catch your child sneaking out the window at night, you've probably caught them on the fourth or fifth time. You might get lucky if you catch them the first time.
Yeah.
But this is not something that just happens overnight. Americans of such historically high integrity. I mean, these are folks that throw themselves in front of bullets that are fired at our president, our vice president, and such. It just really makes you wonder how long this has been going on and how we change this culture of corruption.
Number four on the countdown, the brewing battle between the EPA and the oil industry. Here's John Scott talking to analyst Chris Steierwalt about the comments from an EPA administrator on severely regulating the gas and oil industry by crucifying those who violate environmental regulations.
Those comments made back in 2010 by Al Armendariz, an Obama appointee. In a statement, he responded to the fallout saying, quote, "I apologize to those I have offended and regret my poor choice of words. It was an offensive and inaccurate way to portray our efforts to address potential violations of our nation's environmental laws. I am and have always been committed to fair and vigorous enforcement of those laws." But Oklahoma Republican Senator James Imhoff already plans to investigate the EPA's tactics. Could there be any fallout in an election year? This apology came very quickly after these remarks were exposed. Clearly, his agency or Armendariz himself not too happy about what he said.
No, certainly not, John. And, you know, the situation for the Obama administration, as you say, in an election year is this. The EPA is already a very controversial agency. It's already the top target, one of the top targets for Republican Mitt Romney and Republicans in the Senate like Inhofe. And the problem is when you have audio like this that sounds like it's confirming the worst accusations that Republicans are making about the administration as it relates to oil, natural gas, energy prices and things like that, that's a big liability.
And to use a term like crucify, I mean, the story is, has been out since 2010, I guess, when he made those remarks. But to use a term like that right after Easter, that shows some, well, it's turning a lot of heads, shall we say.
It's turning a lot of heads. And remember, you know, a good rule of thumb in politics is if you feel moved to use the phrase, well, this is a rough analogy or this is crude, you should probably just stop talking. And in this case, what he said, other than using the phrase crucify, which is very significant for America's Christians, but also talking about the capriciousness of it and how you make an example out of certain people the way the Romans did with their subjects in newly conquered territories, that's not what you want to talk about, because what the administration, what the agency wants to emphasize is that they're fair. They may be tough, but they're fair. And he sounded like he was being cruel and capricious.
The EPA versus the oil industry, number four this week on our countdown. So let's recap. Bin Laden death anniversary is 10. TSA troubles, number 9. The Martin Zimmerman case, number 8. John Edwards trial, number 7. Save the Post Office, number 6. Secret Service sex scandal, number 5. The EPA versus the oil industry, number 4. So numbers 3, 2, and 1 are coming up next here on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
Eric Weinmayer knew the risks. Less than 1,200 people had ever conquered Mount Everest, and more than 175 had died trying. But still he climbed, not seeing the terrifying drops or the fear on other faces. And when he reached the summit, he didn't even see the view, because Eric Weinmayer is blind. He proved it doesn't take sight to reach the top. It takes vision. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
When your digestion is out of sync with your life, everything feels off. Digestive issues can leave you twisted up. Give Sustamix Advanced Probiotic a chance to help. Shift Sustanex survives better than other probiotics to deliver good bacteria where you need it. So take the Sustanex 14-day challenge. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Get started at Sustanex.com.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance has got me reflecting a bit. You know, about all the places I've been so far, all the nice folks I've met, and all the money Geico saved them. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I saved somebody money on car insurance, I could retire tomorrow. But then, I'd have to stop my journey across America. I'd never get to visit Collinsville, Illinois, and see the world's largest bottle of ketchup. Well, there's no way I'm going to miss that.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Do you have a used or vintage musical instrument at home gathering dust? Guitar Center's experts are interested in buying it from you now through Sunday. You don't even need to be a musician. Look in attics and basements, because we'll pay you top dollar for qualified guitars, amps, pedals, keyboards, drums, and more. It's the Used and Vintage Gear Expo at your local Guitar Center, now through Sunday. Looking to upgrade? We'll buy qualified used and vintage gear and give you a 15% discount on new gear. You can even trade gear. Find details and your local store at GuitarCenter.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of Allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Alli-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized Allicin. Just one tablet of Alli-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boosts resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alli-C. For more information and to order Alli-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Alli-C.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Moving along with our countdown for the weekend of Friday, April 27th, I'm Doug Steffen at number three on the countdown, the debate over student loans. Here is host Terry Miners talking to Congressman John Yarmuth of Kentucky about the president's recent comments regarding student loans and rising interest rates.
Right, let's stay up with the president for a minute here. He said today, he was talking about his student loans and that he'd only paid off his student loans, he and Michelle, like 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of astounding.
It is. Well, believe me, one of the things I've heard time and time again since I've been in Congress is the burden of student loans, whether you're in you have a four-year degree or whether you've gone to law school or medical school. I mean, one of the huge problems we have in medicine is that many of these men and women who have taken loans for 7 or 8 years of school now have debts of $300,000 and $400,000 that they're paying interest on. And so they tend to have to, at that point, go into specialty medicine in order to get high compensation in order to pay their student loans rather than go into general practice or family practice where they don't need to make as much money. And that has other consequences. So this is a huge problem nationwide. And we, in 2007, in my first year in Congress, we passed a bill to which ultimately dropped the interest rate on student loans to 3.4%. It expires July 1st or June 30th, and if we don't renew that, then everybody's student loans, Stafford loans, which is the federal loan guarantee program, go back to 6.8% interest, which would be, in many cases, essentially a $1,000 tax increase, the equivalent of a $1,000 tax increase. And in Kentucky, it's about 125,000 students who would be affected by that.
So in effect, though, that was President Bush in office then. This is a right. Bush tax cut you'd like to keep in place.
This is something that was one of those nostalgic moments where Democrats and Republicans came together to actually do something to benefit middle-class Americans. And that's why you see now Governor Romney supporting the renewing this rate of maximum rate of 3.4%. There's still a bipartisan consensus, I think, for doing that. And this was bipartisan. I hope we do it again. Because, again, this would be a terrible imposition on literally millions and millions of Americans, 125,000 Kentuckians. And what's happened is, of course, is that wages haven't risen to the point where these young graduates can afford to have the income to basically support the interest on these loans. And so to keep them low, particularly when the government is borrowing money at less than that, I mean, we're paying essentially 2% interest, the government is, and then lending this money out at 3.4%. So the government's still making money. And if as long as we can do that, I think we should, again, to support middle-class Americans. If interest rates, if the government had to pay 5% for its money, then obviously we couldn't maintain this 3.4% interest rate. But while we can, we should.
Another radio man, Leland Conway, talking about student loan interest rates. They are doubling, or they may anyway. There's a bigger issue here that everybody seems to be missing.
The president is campaigning on tuition costs. He's trying to reach the young voters, and he's out there talking about this expiration date of the interest rate on school loans. And basically on July 1st, I think it is, if they don't fix this, the tuition interest goes, the interest on tuition loans goes from like 3.1% to 6.8%. It pretty much doubles. Yeah, my producer Cameron is in college. She just looked at me like, holy cow. And did you know this? Did you know that this was going to happen? Were you aware that this was about to slap you in the face?
No, and not so high. I'm just glad I'm graduating.
Now you're like, what did I sign up for working on your show? I mean, that's kind of scary, isn't it? I mean, you double the interest rate. I don't know. Do you have school loans, or did you pay for it all yourself, or did?
I'm lucky enough that I came in with a scholarship.
Ah,
and my
nice.
Parents are helping me with the rest.
Smart girl.
I know how lucky I am to be graduating without it. A lot of my friends are going to have incredibly high student loans when they leave.
Yeah, well, I was valedictorian in my high school class, and I didn't get any scholarships because of it. I didn't. But I graduated in a class of three. So I could either be with the top 1% or I could be the top 30%. That's where the whole thing was at. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, there's this thought process in America, I guess, that we're supposed to pay our kids college tuition. Either way, whether the parents pay it or whether the kids pay it, it's a big deal now. And the president's campaigning on this whole thing. But ironically, the Democrats wrote the legislation, and they set it to expire in the middle of an election year. There's no argument here. The Republicans want to do the deal, and they want to extend the current interest rates to the 3.1% or whatever. There's no argument here. There's no political issue here. There is a political issue that everybody's ignoring, and that is the cost of tuition. The problem here is the cost of tuition itself. And if you don't hear a politician talking about the fact that in the last decade, the cost of tuition has doubled, if you don't hear a politician talking about that being the problem, then they're not talking, they don't know what's going on then.
That leads us to number two, the Supreme Court in Arizona's illegal immigration law. That's up next. Stand by on the Talk Radio Countdown.
I'm Lou Diamond Phillips. As the host of the Military Channel's An Officer in a Movie, I'm proud to promote films that honor our servicemen and women. That's why I want to tell you about the nation's most exciting military film event, the GI Film Festival, which will be held May 14th to the 20th in Washington, D.C. At the GI Film Festival, Hollywood and the military come together to showcase the world's best military movies and to honor real-life military heroes. Visit GIFilmFestival.com for a full schedule of events. That's GIFilmFestival.com.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
Gardeners trust Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed to feed plants right. Plants need food, especially veggies. Lately, another company's been saying their plant food feeds twice as long as Shake and Feed. What they aren't saying? Their plant food actually feeds less. So we're saying it. Shake and Feed provides 72% more nutrition per application and is more in line with university recommendations for feeding many popular veggies. Hey, if we can save even one veggie, it'll be worth it. Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed. Everyone grows with Miracle-Gro.
The Department of Defense commemorates the 60th anniversary of the Korean War. We are proud to present the following stories of those who served when their nation called. U.S. Air Force Staff Sergeant Thomas Stevens, 371st Bomb Squadron.
The MiG-15, being a jet aircraft, preyed on B-29s. B-29s, as you know, are propeller-driven and much slower. And in the day missions, they would get between the B-29 and the sun, and the gunners looking into the sun couldn't see the aircraft coming at them. So when I got there, they had already started flying night missions. You might ask, well, how do you see a target at night? You don't, is the answer to that. And then we use something called Shoran. Basically, it was an electronic beam that was put up from either side of the Korean Peninsula by, I believe, naval ships. They calibrated that electronic beam so finely that where the beams crossed was the point at which the B-29 would release the bombs.
See more hero stories at koreanwar.defense.gov.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. First, she'll crawl. Then take her first baby steps. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school. I'll be watching her run down a soccer field. Staying up all night waiting for her to get home from her first date. Wincing when she steps on the gas pedal and then the brakes. Beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma. Or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Gather your family, friends, and co-workers and join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Hot hits and talk radio being discussed at number two, the Supreme Court in Arizona's illegal immigration law. Host Bobby Walsh with Bob Dane from the Federation for American Immigration Reform. He attended Supreme Court hearings in Washington on the Arizona law.
You watch the arguments. What are your thoughts?
Well, in a nutshell, we heard the Supreme Court oral arguments. We're not, none of us are going to see a decision until June. In a nutshell, the question for the court was, can the federal government stop states from participating in immigration enforcement, specifically Arizona? Or is it exclusively the role of the federal government? But in order to understand the lawsuit, you need to know this. There's an explicit argument of preemption. That means the government, Obama's Department of Justice, is arguing that it's their job here in Washington to enforce immigration laws exclusively. No one else's. But the implicit argument, really, and the motivation behind the lawsuit is we don't want to enforce immigration laws nationally, which Obama, for the most part, is not doing, and we don't want you doing it at the state level. Right. So it was very, very necessary for the Obama administration to prove that immigration is his job.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of odd, because this isn't so much Obama saying, let us do the enforcement, it's not your job. It's more like, we're not doing it here, and we don't want you doing it there.
Yeah, it's like, we don't want to do immigration enforcement, so we don't want you to do it either. Don't tell us how to not do our jobs. That's, in essence, what it is. Now,
it is, and it's kind of absurd if you think about it. I mean, here the president has staged an expensive, arguably a well-organized legal attack against Arizona, which, of course, wants to uphold the rule of law so that he can have the power to tear it apart. All through the process, the president has ignored the pleas from Arizona for help. So instead of sending them the needed law enforcement and resources they're asking for, they're getting a battalion of lawyers.
It really isn't unheard of. Thought, how could you even imagine 10, 15 years ago that we'd have a president arguing against our own country to continue to allow people to come here illegally? And it doesn't have anything to do, they're going for the Hispanic vote. We're going for the rule of law. And they keep trying to win this battle based on all constantly, whether it's class warfare or race warfare. That's what these guys are good at. That's what they're trying to do. And they're going to demagogue it that way, when in fact the states have cost involved in illegal immigration. I saw that report where 80% of, I have it here, it's unbelievable number here, of crimes committed along the border are committed by people that are here. 80% of cases filed against criminal defendants in U.S. magistrate courts in 2011 occurred along the U.S. border with Mexico. So, but the states bear the burden, but they have no right to do anything about it.
None whatsoever. And remember, this was not a knee jerk reaction by Arizona. Far from it. Mexico ends where Arizona starts. For Arizona, in particular, illegal immigration is all about not only just garden variety illegal immigration, but crime, kidnapping, drugs, increasingly human trafficking. It's a small state. They've got about 7 million folks there, but they've got 500,000 illegal aliens, and they've had 3 to 4 police officers killed in the last 10 years. So it isn't a surprise that a state that is really one of the hardest hit by illegal immigration now was fighting for their life yesterday with what we consider to be a fair, practical, and effective bill.
Here's Talk Host Peter Tilden talking to legal analyst Royal Oaks about whether he thinks the Supreme Court will overturn Arizona's illegal immigration law or not.
Are they going to overturn Arizona's immigration law? And here's what I'm asking. Because people don't understand what the issue is here with Arizona versus the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The contentious part of this is the papers, please part, where they ask immigrants for their papers, if they're allowed to do that. The court is not deciding if this violates civil rights. This is more whether it's a federal or state issue, right?
Exactly right.
So how do they lean on that? Because if they lean that the state can do this, then you're going to have a patchwork of states doing their own immigration law.
Yeah, that's true, but Peter, it sounds like they're okay with it because they had the oral argument in Washington today, and it was a real stunner because Justice Sotomayor, very liberal, and Justice Breyer both seem to be willing to join the conservatives, and it looks like they're going to uphold the Arizona law, the one that says if a cop stops you for a traffic violation and he has a reason to believe you're in the country illegally, he may check into your immigration status. Now, the lower court said no, that's verboten, that's illegal, and it looks very much, reading the tea leaves from the questions that they posed today, like they're going to uphold that. They're going to, however, toss out the part of the law that said that it is illegal to work in the U.S. if you are illegal. It's illegal to hire somebody. So they're gonna split the baby is the bottom line. But
it will be inconsistent. It'll be inconsistent depending on the state you're driving through.
Yeah, exactly right. And their attitude was that it's really a federal thing. And if the states want to have some extra enforcement of the federal law, that is, let's get rid of folks who are illegally here, then they're entitled to do that by making a traffic stop and then saying, oh, you know, I have reason to believe that you're in the country illegally. Now, as to why they would have reason to believe that, that's a separate question. But assuming they can justify it, it looks like that is actually going to survive the court test, so it'll be a half win, half defeat for the Obama administration.
Talk host Kevin Thomas with Nebraska Attorney General John Bruning about his support for the Arizona law.
The role that Nebraska played in this particular case is a brief that your office filed in support of the Arizona law. Why did you decide to get involved in this?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's cruel to tell people they have to immigrate to this country under the law, that people have to comply with the law. And I also think these laws are very useful. There's some attrition, some self-deportation. I know that concept has been derided by many, but I think there's some self-deportation, and there's anecdotal evidence to prove that with cities that have passed laws saying that we're not going to be sanctuaries, we're not going to allow illegal immigrants to comfortably reside here. So in Arizona, all the state law said was that the state and local authorities can assist the federal government, do exactly what federal law allows them to do, and that's check papers. You pull somebody over for a speeding ticket, you say, let me see your ID, and they don't have an ID, and you can detain them. And I don't think that's cruel. I don't think it's unconstitutional. I think in the end, the Supreme Court's going to uphold that law because it's the right thing to do. You're asking, let's say, a county sheriff pull somebody over, and that somebody has no ID, can't prove that they're a legal citizen. Should local and county law enforcement and state law enforcement be able to help out? The answer to that question in my mind is yes. We need to do what we can to not make it easy for illegal immigrants to reside in this country.
As to that particular part of the law, I really got the same feeling from the things that I've read and the accounts that I've heard, but there are other pieces to the law, such as the employment penalties. Is there a chance that the Supreme Court tears down maybe part of this law but allows other parts to stand?
Oh, I think it's possible. I mean, you have to recognize that, the federal government's own website say that they can do instantaneous. I mean, it takes, seconds to do a background check on somebody if you're an employer using the E-Verify system, according to the federal government's own website. And that oftentimes, if you're in the field, that officers, the average time for those identity checks is 11 minutes. So it's not really that big of a hassle. And for those of us that happen to carry around our ID everywhere, I mean, like you, I've got my driver's license in my back pocket right now. It's not that hard to show ID if somebody asks you for it.
All right, that gets rid of number two. Let's get to number one, and that is the presidential race. That's up next here as we continue.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally. Instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Number one, the 2012 presidential race. Host David Pattison talking to Mike Huckabee about how he thinks Mitt Romney's campaign will proceed after his 5 primary wins this week.
The campaign really now is very narrowly defined, with Speaker Gingrich announcing today pretty much that he will endorse Mitt Romney next week. So now that the battle lines are drawn, Romney's first reaction when he won in 5 states was to criticize President Obama's taxing the wealthy. And do you think that Mitt is going to take the gloves off a little bit now that he doesn't have any competition in the primaries?
Oh, there's no doubt. This is going to be a very ugly election process. And I know you and I have both been involved in those before, so we know what it's like firsthand. I told people that, you know, it's one thing to observe a good political battle. It's another thing to come off the field on a gurney after you've had, significant pints of your blood taken from you by your opponents. This is going to be tough. But I think that we, in essence, saw somewhat of the contrast. Mitt Romney gave a very, I thought, thoughtful presidential-level speech. One of his lines, which I thought was absolutely spot on, was, "It is still the economy, but we're not stupid." And that's a great theme for him to take away Bill Clinton's famous 1990
new line. That's a great line.
And to run with it and to say, you know, we're not stupid. The American people understand that you can't spend money you don't have and borrow money you can't afford to pay back and build a strong economy.
Now, Governor, in terms of Governor Romney's view on the student loan program, I thought he was boxed into that because his problem isn't much that he's not conservative enough, as many of my callers have suggested, but the fact that the American people just are not informed enough about how lousy the student loan program is. But it might have been a moment for him to have taken on that fight. What did you think about his announcement the other day?
Well, as soon as I heard that this was an issue that was going to blow up, I suggested right then that Republicans ought to get in front of it. They ought to go ahead and embrace keeping the rate at 3.4. It makes no sense to anybody. The fact is, even though it only affects a very small portion of the people on subsidized Stafford loans, and that starts getting into the weeds, you and I both know, number one rule of politics, when you're explaining, you're losing. This is a simple issue that the Democrats have been able to frame very effectively. Do you want these rates to double? The Republicans really have nowhere to go but to say, we sure don't. We don't want to hurt college kids. And go ahead and get in front of it and then use it to say, we don't want anybody's cost to go up right now. So let's don't increase anybody's taxes any more than we're going to increase the rate at which a student pays for a loan.
Here's another host named Brian Schimming talking to a caller on his program. The caller thinks Ron Paul supporters will never come around to support Mitt Romney.
On line two is Jamie in Bayview. Jamie, welcome to the program. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Brian. Romney, I'm not so concerned about the Democrats. I think Obama has ticked off plenty of Democrats that will vote for Romney. The group I'm concerned about, and I happen to be part of that group, is the Ron Paul people. You try to convince Ron Paul people to vote for Romney is nearly impossible. They're so tired of status quo and Republicans running around calling themselves Republicans, but not necessarily very conservative. Those Ron Paul people, I'm telling you, on Facebook, I'm trying to convince them that they need to vote for Romney. That would be a vote against Obama, but it is like pulling teeth.
Let me say this to you, and I have, oh gosh, several friends who are pretty either straight out Ron Paul supporters or Paul sympathetic. I've spoken at Libertarian Party meetings. The problem is I can think of various candidates that I talk about with Ron Paul people. They didn't like any of them. It wasn't just Ron, it wasn't just Mitt Romney. We couldn't get them to come across on anybody as much as they hated Obama. And I have Ron Paul friends. I love them. I mean, I see them socially. There's nothing I can say to them that makes them happy.
The reason why is because you can believe damn near everything out of Ron Paul's mouth. He tells the American people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And I'm very, very loyal to that. But I'm also very anti-Obama, and that's why I'm going to have to throw my vote towards Romney. I'm not thrilled about him, but I'm going to have to get behind this guy, or we're stuck with Obama for another 4 years.
So the presidential race number one this week, recapping the anniversary of the death of Osama bin Laden is number 10, TSA troubles 9, the Martin Zimmerman case is 8, John Edwards trial 7, Save the Post Office number 6, Secret Service sex scandal 5, EPA versus the oil industry 4, the debate over student loans is 3, the Supreme Court taking up Arizona's immigration law number 2, and the presidential race is number 1 this week on the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Cardio.